This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. We've been talking about the Caps headed toward Game 7 throughout the show. We began the morning talking about Juan Soto as well, the 19-year-old left-handed stick who hit the three-run homer heard round D.C. last night. But there was another big storyline and fun story out of the Nats game, and that was that Tim Collins, who debuted in the major leagues way back in 2011 as a 21-year-old who was a high-end prospect with the Royals, made his return to Major League Baseball after missing three full seasons coming back from a pair of Tommy John operations. He joins us now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. And Tim, first of all, congratulations.
Congrats, man.
What a long road back it was. You pitch in an inning. You struck out a couple last night. You faced four batters. Job well done. What did it feel like to be back on a major league hill?
Oh, well, first, thank you guys for having me on. It was awesome. Compared it to my debut back in 2011 with just some slight differences. This one was kind of more of a battle to get there. Obviously making my debut was a dream come true, but, rehabbing the last 3 years, it seemed like it was going to be never ending. And I just didn't know when I was going to get this opportunity. And, finally came last night, and it was another way, a dream come true.
I remember seeing you pitch years ago in the Eastern League, I think at that point, maybe with Toronto's system, but you were throwing in. Mm-hmm. You were well on your way to the major leagues, and everyone knew you were going to get there pretty quickly. Now, as you said, this might have been more special because the 3 years away after you had the four seasons in the big leagues, did you at any point give up hope? Did you know all along you were still going to pitch in the majors? And just take us through the journey, the operations, the rehab, and how it's all gone down. Take us on that stroll with you.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of times where just – kind of seemed like I've hit a wall. First obviously was, the first surgery not working out and having to have a second surgery. A lot of teams don't want to take chances on guys with two arm surgeries, especially Tommy John's. And fortunately and thankfully the Nationals took a chance on me and, kind of like they did with Sean Kelly. And, I'm extremely grateful for that opportunity. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a long 3 years, and, like I said, there was a lot of times where I thought, or wondered if this was ever going to work out. But that kind of just fueled the fire for me. It made me want a little bit more and made me push myself a little bit more to get back, to this level.
Tim Collins is with us. Nationals reliever made a season debut last night. Tim, how good are you at rehab? Like, are you an expert at rehabilitating your arm at this point?
I find myself correcting some guys when they're doing stuff. Having been in the training room for so long, sometimes I sit on the table and I jump back off because I don't ever want to be back on one of those tables. But so it's sometimes just a joke. But I've gone through pretty much every type of rehab exercise you can imagine for shoulder, elbow, core strengthening, just general strength and conditioning stuff. So I'm pretty educated on that stuff at this point.
So with all due respect to your story, because it's awesome, the main story takeaway last night is the 19-year-old kid doing what he did. From your perspective as somebody who's now seen kind of both sides of it, because you were 21 at one point coming in and shoving with nasty stuff, what was that like for you kind of last night to witness that sort of – it's got to be an injection of energy, right?
Yeah, I mean, I've honestly never been on a team where we've had such a young, star prospect come up to the big leagues, make his debut. So I've always seen it on TV, and you see the great stories of guys coming up and hitting home runs their first at bat in the big leagues and go on to have great careers. Uh, So to be able to witness that firsthand is awesome. I rehabbed last year with Juan when he was down in Florida, and I mean, just what an amazing kid he is. He's 19. I mean, if I was in his shoes with the type of publicity he's getting and all that, I mean, it's got to be tough for somebody who's 19. You watch him play out there, it looks like he's been here for a long time. So I think he's got obviously a really bright future, and I look forward to watching him play every day.
Tim Collins has struck out over a batter per inning in his major league career. Back in 2012, he actually punched out 12 per nine. He's always been able to retire batters via the strikeout. You are listed at 5'7", and I told Danny earlier, you're one of the few guys I've ever gotten to interview as a 5'8" person who I'm taller than. I wonder, that seems to help you. I mean, it seems like over the years that's going to be held against you, and as you know, you get less opportunities. You don't have the plane. You can't come over the top and come downhill. Do you feel like in some way that because of the fact that there are so few guys like you, it actually is a benefit in some capacity?
Yeah, I think, growing up, it's been kind of a hindrance. A lot of guys, I wasn't, I guess what you would say, quote unquote, projectable. And I think once I got to the professional level and was able to prove that, you know, I have the stuff and the ability to pitch for a long time, the whole size thing kind of worked to my benefit, mainly to a deception, from a deception standpoint. Guys see a small guy out there and they don't expect me to throw as hard as I do. So, in a sense, it works to my advantage. It also, if I know somebody is kind of underrating me, I sort of enjoy that. It just gives me a little more edge, if you will.
How has your stuff changed? And our guest is Tim Collins, pitched for the Nats last night. They needed a lefty reliever, not named Sean Doolittle, because Sammy Solis is on pace to pitch
876 times
this season. So he's going to come up and help them ideally against some lefties.
Sure.
But how's this stuff changed from like 5 years ago, let's say, to right now in terms of velocity or off-speed stuff?
Well, I think as far as stuff goes, I think I'm right where I was when I was healthy. Not to say that I'm unhealthy right now, but the best way to explain it is, my elbow's not new. It's just different. Really the whole rehab process was figuring out what my new norms are. Rainy days, my elbow aches. It's kind of like I'm an old man with arthritis. So I can tell you guys when it's going to rain just based on how my elbow feels.
Cool.
As far as stuff goes, last year was kind of a reality check for me, which was great. It was kind of a blessing in disguise. But this year, coming in healthy, I think my velocity is right where it needs to be. More importantly, I've got life on my fastball, which helps a ton. And, my off-speed stuff is right where it needs to be as well. So I think, I've got a lot of experience at the big league level, and I think that's probably my biggest asset is bringing some experience down to the bullpen and just helping those guys, win some games and pick up some innings for those guys that have been throwing a lot.
Tim, there's a lot of injuries going around this Nats clubhouse.
Sure.
It's like everybody that has walked in and put a jersey on is on the disabled list. It's like the best 25-man mm-hmm. roster in the sport is on the DL for the Nats. I mean, how have you kind of approached this? I mean, obviously this is a club with designs to contend and be really, really good, but it's the walking wounded here. How do you guys kind of navigate through some troubled waters here?
That's a tough question. Obviously through a season, you're going to have guys with some injuries. If you can avoid those big injuries and 60-day DLs, that's great. Obviously we've had some tough luck here with guys going down with some, potentially season-ending injuries. It's tough to navigate. It certainly is. But I think with the group of guys that we'll be able to put on the field each night, we're still a playoff caliber team. And I think that's going to show here real shortly once we, get these guys, especially the bullpen, a little bit of rest. And, that's going to be hopefully my role. I can come in and pick up some extra innings for these guys that have been throwing every day. Sammy Solis in particular, he's been throwing a ton. So he gave me a big hug when I got here. So that's kind of how I'm approaching this. I want to be some reinforcement for these guys and hopefully help them win some games. But, like you said, if we had, you know, guys like Murphy and, you know, Howie just went down, I mean, those are big blows. But, you know, I think each guy in here knows that, you know, what their role is and what it takes to win every day.
Are there any restrictions on throwing back-to-back days for you? Or are you going to be treated differently than, say, like a 26-year-old who hasn't had any of the operations?
No. You know, I've been really open with them about how I'm feeling every day. I'm at a point right now where, you know, it's risk reward. If I'm not feeling 100% that day, it's better for me to take a day or two here than, you know, potentially end my season in 2 weeks from now. So at this point in the year, it's about, you know, it's kind of funny to say it's about staying healthy. So I'm going to be completely honest with them, tell them how I'm feeling. But as of right now, no restrictions. That's kind of how it was in Syracuse. I threw back to back, I threw multiple innings. And the biggest thing I wanted to convey is that, you know, I'm healthy now. I don't want to be treated like I'm injured. I don't want to be treated like I'm rehabbing. I want to come in and have no restrictions and just be able to be a regular contributor.
One last thing. Do you groom your own beard or does someone do it for you? And do you use beard oil?
I'm proud to say that I groom my own beard. It's took me quite a while to figure out the recipe for it, but I do it myself. I do have a barber that I like to go to that I trust to do my beard, but more often than not, I'd say probably 95% of the time I do my own.
Tim, the only disappointing thing here is I thought we were going to get like an aggressive, depatted kind of Worcester accent. I thought you were going to like talk about things like they talk about in the bank robbing movie with Ben Affleck, and you're just going to come all brewing all the time.
I thought he was going to tell us Mrs. Marshall's the 44th patient.
How did you escape
that? Yeah, yeah. If you guys called me probably 10 years ago, you would have gotten it.
Did you get a shame down? What happened?
Worcester.
It was kind of my first year in rookie ball. I caught a lot of heat for, saying or not saying my R's. And so it was either say my R's or just get worn out. And I decided to focus on pronouncing my R's. But it comes out now and again.
Turn the clocks back for us and say Mark Wahlberg in your best Boston accent.
Mark Wahlberg.
Oh, my God. It's surreal.
That's really
surreal.
Good.
I mean, it is. It's about 4% of the alphabet.
It sounded like he was starring in Good Will Hunting.
Yeah,
right.
It's sort of natural, you know? Marky Mark, you know?
That's very good. Hey, Tim, we'll see you in the clubhouse. Buddy. Thanks so much for joining us. And seriously, man, what a story. Congrats.
Congrats again, pal.
No problem. I appreciate it, guys.
You bet. Tim Collins on Grant and Danny here on 106.7 The Fan. How easy is it to root for him?
Very easy. He doesn't look like the rest of the guys. That's what's so cool about it. He's awesome.
Let's get you a stock report on the Capitals. Arrow trending up on all kinds of players last night.
Folks, Danny Ruye for my pals. Ted Ritford, do it. Make the play. Make the move. I've done it not one but two times. That's right. Two Ted Ritfords in the Ruye family. Last year, got myself a 2017 Ford Fusion. You can get a 2018 Fusion. My 2017 Fusion, see that car right there? I love that car. Got gas 7 times in about 14 months. That's great value. You can get one of those. You can get a Fiesta, a Focus, a Fusion, just like mine. 0% APR for 72 months. How about the F-150, the Mustang, the EcoSport? 0% APR for 60 months. F-150, 4x4 Supercrew XLT. How about $12,000 off the MSRP? My favorite thing that Ted Ritford does is this. Military and first responders, active or retired, get $1,000 towards any new 2017 or 2018 Ford vehicles. Huh? How cool is that? Taking care of the people that take care of us. And when you buy from Ted Ritford, a little something extra. It's called Ted Ritford Life. It's lifetime vehicle coverage. New, pre-owned, doesn't matter. Anything less than 100,000 miles, you get it. Big stuff, powertrain, little stuff like they'll replace your battery once every few years. They're the best. You got to go see them and tell them.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back, and as always, thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoy our radio program, and it means a lot that you do, by the way, because you've got plenty of options, and if you don't listen, then we don't have success, you may enjoy hanging out with us. We've got a big event coming up for Nationals fans.
Yeah, buddy.
106.7 The Fan at the DC Improv. We're taking over the Improv on June 6th. For a DC Chalk Talk, Danny's on stage, I'm on stage, and special guest Sean Doolittle is on stage. And we've heard some rumblings about maybe another national or two showing up.
I cannot confirm this, but there were preliminary discussions from another national that would be hilarious. And he threatened, he joked, he made it seem like this was something that he wanted to do. Further discussion is needed here, but we might have another special guest at that event. That's all I can
closer,
say.
Closer, Sean Doolittle, get the inside scoop on the season and maybe a surprise guest as well. Presented by the Purple Heart Foundation. Details at thefandc.com/events. That night, June 6th, by the way, is a little over 2 weeks away and potentially could be a celebratory evening depending on what happens with the Washington Capitals. They got a lot of work to do still at this point.
Yeah, it'll be like what, after game four?
I think
it's
so.
It's right before they go to game five, if the Caps would
Wait,
even
is the
be
cup
in.
Schedule out? Yeah, someone yeah. referenced it.
The schedule yeah. is out, man. First
yeah,
game's
so,
Monday.
So the schedule will not compete with Chalk Talk. So we're good there.
This is what I was worried
about.
Well,
the NHL made sure. They were very nice about that.
That would be the first time they've ever thought about you, me, Thami, or Dar.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're terrible at scheduling marquee events during the NFL draft. They do that very wrong. But they were correct about this. They go, listen, we can't put a game on Wednesday because Grant and Danny have their Chalk Talk event at the DC Improv with Sean Doolittle. Very considerate.
I know there's a game on June 4th because that is the night of the Major League Baseball draft. So I'm guessing that would be game four at that point. Dar, you got the schedule. And by the way, this is all, if necessary, nobody go crazy. We understand the Caps have to win a game, and they may not, and none of this may matter.
All we're saying is this is the NHL final schedule. That will happen. The
this
Stanley
could be
Cup
the Vegas
final
Golden
will happen.
Knights and the Tampa Bay Lightning. It could be.
No matter what happens, game one will be Monday the 28th.
We know that.
Wednesday the 30th. Saturday the 2nd will be game three. Game four is June 4th. Game five, Thursday, June 7th. Game six, if necessary, Sunday, June 10th. Game 7, Wednesday, June 13th.
I really like that we have the schedule already.
Just a schedule.
Normally we sit and we wait and we twiddle our thumbs and we wonder what night's games are going to be.
How long did we wait? Wasn't it? It was for this round, right? Where we were like, when are they going to play? And no one knew. And then we had to figure out what Justin
the
Timberlake
Penguins
was there.
Too. The Penguins round was worse because of the old Bridgestone, Justin Timberlake nonsense. Remember? Because we were wondering about the NFL draft.
Yeah.
Oh, first round.
Nashville. That's right. That's right. That's what it was.
But go win game seven, and let's make the schedule matter a little bit. And let's have a really fun week in June where we're watching the Caps in the Stanley Cup and we're having a DC Chalk Talk with Sean Doolittle. That would be super exciting.
I would enjoy that. I would enjoy it.
Sounds like a good time to me. Thank you, TJ Oshie, by the way, for goals 6 and 7 in the playoffs. Thank you, Devontae Smith-Pelly, for your fourth goal of this postseason. Al Kokin is going to join us at 1:30 coming up in 7 minutes to break down the upcoming Game 7. Real quick, give me a stock rising arrow up on a Caps stock report of someone you liked last night.
Brooks Orpik. Oh, sorry, voice guy. Brooks Orpik. This is somebody that I didn't think fit well in the series with the speed and the skill of Tampa. I thought he's kind of a lumbering oaf. And yeah, he's physical, and that's adorable, but I didn't think he'd have much place. I thought he was with renewed vigor, really last night, but kind of throughout the series, it's actually been pretty good. He played really well, I thought. Everything that you would ever ask of a stalwart defenseman, staying at home, pushing guys out, checking, finishing them, getting the puck out of the zone. Brooks Orpik, man.
Braden Holtby took 100 games, but you pitched a shutout for the first time in the 2017-2018 season, and it couldn't have come at a better time. They only needed two or three spectacular saves from him last night, and he made them. His best save of the playoffs, a glove save last night from point-blank range. If you really slow down the shot, that puck's going wide of the net, but I'm not going to let that spoil the story.
No.
That was a confident save. He made a ridiculous snag with his glove. He doesn't know that puck's going wide of the net, possibly. Who knows? Maybe it hits a crossbar and gets in. Maybe it hits a post and goes in. Braden Holtby was great.
How about Nicky Backstrom? Remember him? Remember old Nicholas Backstrom? Stalwart with the Washington Capitals, longtime great center. Was a zero-point guy in his last couple games. Was a -2 in the two losses since he came back in this Tampa Bay series. A couple of assists last night, including on that empty netter, but it was his delicious, delicious pass to TJ Oshie in the slot that kind of changed everything. Little head and shoulders fake, little look away to move a defender's stick just ever so much, put it in the exact right spot where Oshie lit the lamp. It was beautiful. It was after, by the way, we haven't talked about this, the premature light going on moments before in that same power play.
Yeah.
crazy time that I still haven't seen a review of. What are you doing, NBC Sports? But whatever. Nicholas Backstrom was awesome.
A guy no one's mentioned on this show, I don't think his name's been mentioned today, and hasn't gotten really any talk from anyone since the game last night, who was amazing. Dmitry Orlov. Dmitry Orlov had 5 shots on goal, super aggressive, 2 hits, 3 blocks, 2 takeaways, 22 minutes on ice. He was amazing. Stock up, Dmitry Orlov.
I just want to congratulate Lars Eller on no penalties last night. Lars Eller, no penalties, everybody.
Very exciting.
When you don't commit penalties, we don't go to the box, and good things happen. Lars Eller, everybody, he's here.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Al Koken will be here, just like Lars Eller, in just a moment. We'll talk Game 7 with him tomorrow night in Tampa. The Caps are 60 good minutes of hockey away from the Stanley Cup. Can they knock off the top-seeded Lightning? We'll ask Smoke and Al next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Braden Point comes in. Pocket pick. Another great player from Devontae Smith-Pelly. And this will be a foot race, and Colburn getting there, but negating the icing. Great hustle from Stevenson in front. A shot. They score. They score. Devontae Smith-Pelly with 9:58 to go. It's 2-0 Washington in game 6. Sometimes
I'm right. Another chance to win $1,000, 12 a day for you in the Cash Flash contest. The next chance to win comes up at 2 o'clock in the top of the hour sports blast. Meshes and data rates will apply. Next segment to close out the show, a Redskins rookie did something really cool for fans. Makes you like the guy.
Yeah.
Before you even get to know the guy. We will talk about that next. But right now, speaking of people we like, Smokin' Al Koken, a institution on the radio and on television talking about the Caps in this town, joins us on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline. Al, we are on for 4 o'clock today over at NBC Sports Washington. Little Caps Road to the Cup, so check us out tonight at 6. Should be a good time. We got a win to talk about after an inspiring effort from the Caps in Game 6.
Didn't it seem like it was just more than just a win?
Yeah.
I mean, there were so many different layers to it. And I said it last night on our shows, Grant, on NBC Sports Washington. I've been in that building for pretty much every single Capitals game. I've never heard that building louder. I've never heard the fan support more intense. I'll be honest with you, before the game, I was a little worried because we were standing out on the street waiting to go on the set on F Street, and people are coming up, fans are coming up, chatting, and I kept hearing people saying, oh, man, the secondary market for tickets is down, and somebody even came up and said, hey, do you know anybody who wants a ticket, just was going to give it away. And I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, is it going to be one of those nights? But once you got in the building and once the that hype video that I think they have done a great job with at Monumental comes up and that crowd is roaring, then you get Caleb Green and Bob McDonald with the national anthem. And from that point on, it never stopped. And let's also give the Caps credit for making sure the fan base was going to be entertained all night. The hits, the scoring chances, the intensity that they played with fed right into the crowd and vice versa.
Al, the only fear or the worry, reservation may be the right word, that Grant and I had was they reached deep down and put this thing in the red. The race car was in the red for the entire 60 minutes. That was as thorough all through 1 through 25, as good an effort as you will find in this Capitals kind of playoff run here. We worry that maybe they emptied the tank, though. Can they muster that kind of energy and aggression again?
No, it's a great question. It's a great thought. It's passed through my mind as well, but you know, one of the things I think is repeatable is that, you know, you may not get 39 hits. I get that. You may not get, a few other details of it. But I don't think this team is incapable of that intensity and that desire to be the team, say, for example, win the 50-50 pucks. We're all going to talk about the Devontae Smith-Pelly hits, the Tom Wilson hits, all the way the captain was blowing people up.
But I thought the physicality part that I liked the most was how many times they were ready to sacrifice the body or give themselves up if necessary to make a play by winning 50-50 pucks, by being the guy to get to the puck first and get that outlet pass, do what it takes to get it out of the zone when Tampa's scrambling. That, I think, is very much repeatable. And the other thing that I think is interesting is they really have had almost no power play chances the last two games. Something tells me they're going to have a little more in Tampa. It may not be a lot, but a little more. And I like the fact that it looked like this power play had made adjustments. We saw it on the TJ Oshie goal, but they were ready for more. And I think that there are some things that they still have in their arsenal that they may not even have gotten to last night that they can bank on. So, yeah, I don't know if it's going to be one of those pulverizing 39-hit games, but I think the physical intensity, and also, too, Danny, I think we saw it particularly on the Chandler-Stevenson play to keep that icing from being called and then setting up the Devontae Smith-Pelly goal. The speed is there. And if they get those bigger, slower Tampa defensemen in open space, they're great in tight quarters. Braden Coburn around the net with that 6'5 reach and his size, very good in tight quarters. In open ice, the Caps have the advantage, and I think that can carry over with them definitely into Game 7.
1-for-1 on the power play, 2-for-2 on the penalty kill, which may have been just as large. Al Koken is with us on Grant and Danny talking Caps Game 6 win. We'll look ahead to Game 7 in a moment. You know who I was really proud and happy for last night was Brooks Orpik. I thought he set the tone.
Yeah.
The first fight of the playoffs for the Capitals, which maybe loomed important, but his physicality leading the team with the 6 hits, I thought he was great.
Grant, we know. We sit there and watch games. We read tweets after a mistake is made. And everybody can see the things that Brooks Orpik doesn't do well. And everybody knows the things that Brooks Orpik did at one time in his career that at this stage of his career probably doesn't do as well. But the things that Brooks Orpik has always brought to a hockey team, whether it was in Pittsburgh or now in his fourth year here in Washington, are the things that don't always come on a stat sheet, don't always come out on a spreadsheet. These are the things that they've always talked to great length in the locker room about Brooks Orpik. And you have to be around the team. You've got to talk to people. You've got to see certain subtleties to the game to really appreciate the value of Brooks Orpik. It's easy, as I said, to pick out the things he does poorly or mistakes he makes. But there are so many other things. And the people that criticize Brooks Orpik hate the word intangibles. But every time you hear a press conference, every time you talk to another player and they talk about what he means to the team, Barry Trotz at his press conference last night, justifiably, first person he praised was Alex Ovechkin, the captain leading by example. And then he said, but also our other leaders. And the next name he named was Brooks Orpik. These things have an effect. These things mean something. This is the reason he was signed to a contract that they knew at the time was probably more than they wanted to spend in terms of dollar value per year, and certainly more than they wanted to spend for the length of the contract. But to get the things that he brings a team that desperately needed additional leadership, this is why Brian McClellan made the commitment. And you saw it last night. And I don't know how else to explain to the people who only look at these numbers and these tarot card spreadsheets, but this is Brooks Orpik, love him or not. Last night, you saw exactly the reason why his team and his organization absolutely loves this guy.
Great Al Koken with us here on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, talking about a Game 7 in the Eastern Conference Finals. Good place to be. I know Oshie lit the lamp twice, and DSP got his as well. But Al, the guy that I loved, I thought he finally, I don't want to say he escaped maybe being worried about the league or getting punished or whatever, but I thought Tom Wilson was a man possessed last night. If it wore white, he hit it. So I shudder to think if he went to a bar after the game and a waiter was wearing white, he would have checked his button in the glass. He was amazing last night, flying around. I think he was in Tampa Bay's head an awful lot when it came to getting the puck out of the defensive zone. Can he repeat that performance, or what do you think got into him?
That's him. I mean, you saw him to a T, Danny. Listen, by the way, there was one tweet last night that I thought was spectacular. I apologize for not remembering who sent it out, but somebody tweeted out the Stamkos TJ Miller collision and said, you know, Steven Stamkos knocks out TJ Miller, Tom Wilson will be suspended for 3 games. You know, it was, but it kind of summed up everything up. But yeah, you're right. I mean, let's be honest. Let's go up and down that lineup. We were saying on the air last night, can you really look at that score sheet at that lineup and say, oh, that was kind of a crappy game for him, or oh, I didn't really notice him last night. Everybody had their moment last night. Andre Burakovsky. Grant, are you listening? Grant.
I am.
Andre
Burakovsky.
I know. No, listen. But did you not see a more inspired Andre Burakovsky?
He was
doing
better.
The things that he needed to do. And listen, I agreed with you 100%. I didn't think he should have been in the lineup for game five. But last night, Barry Trotz made the decision. You know what? Again, if we're going to use our speed to our advantage, we got to get another speed guy back in the game. And he had that breakaway. He was much more engaged. Listen, he's 6'3" tall. He's over 200 pounds. He doesn't have to play a perimeter game. And last night he didn't. Last night he was turning better on the walls. He was protecting the puck better. The things he wasn't doing that he didn't earn a sweater because of in games 3 and 4, he was back to doing that last night. So up and down the lineup. But, yeah, if you're going to have a tone set, it's your number one line, right? And Alex Ovechkin was doing it. Tom Wilson was doing it. Kuznetsov was doing it. Just everybody to a man, I thought, delivered their roles last night in excellent fashion.
If you are a Caps fan and you're not following Al Kokin, you're making a mistake, at Real Smokin' Al on Twitter. I will see you in Bethesda in a couple of hours, it looks like.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it.
And we will see him again ahead of Game 7 on all of their coverage, because he will be taking part, I'm sure, in all the broadcasts pre and post on NBC Sports Washington ahead of the 7th game, a decisive game. Will the Caps get to a Stanley Cup? Will their season end in Round 3? We will know tomorrow night. We're Grant and Danny. Next, a Washington Redskins rookie did something really cool. We'll explain.
G&D for EMP 180 weight loss. Grant, minus 70 pounds. Danny, minus 40 pounds. Our listeners, collectively, thousands of pounds down. People have made the decision in such big numbers, Grant. So many folks have made this EMP 180 weight loss commitment that EMP had no choice but to expand. That's right. A brand spanking new location in Woodbridge. We've had such great experiences, and now folks down 95 can have them too.
And here's the thing, is that you're getting less and less of a reason or an excuse to not do this.
Yeah.
Because at one point it was only Tyson's Corner. You're in Maryland. I can't do that. Then it's Rockville. Now you're like, oh, I'm down 95 a little ways. Now it's Woodbridge. They are setting up offices all over the place so that you guys can lose weight. Like so many of our listeners have, 50, 60, 70, 100 pounds at a time. Best thing about EMP 180 weight loss, honestly, I don't even think it's that you lose the weight. It's that you keep the weight off. I have lost the weight before. I've never been able to keep it off. EMP 180 weight loss will help you to do that.
Got to go to EMP180weightloss.com or call them at 855-888-0180 to schedule your consultation today.
Chad Nukes versus the world at 2 o'clock in 12 minutes. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. Final few moments for us on this Tuesday on 106.7 The Fan. This has been a Caps heavy, a Juan Soto heavy Tuesday at the office, which is kind of the way we like it, frankly. There was a lot of good to talk about after last night when DC Sports went 2-0. The Nats are back in action tonight against the Padres. You got to imagine Juan Soto earned himself a second start in as many days.
Yeah, go ahead and put him in the lineup, please, and thank you. I need people to understand how much more fun this is than doing the story that we do every year towards the end of May of who didn't show up to OTAs and debating whether or not that's a good thing or not, or if it matters or whatever else. And then a player calls us and says it doesn't really matter, and we disagree with them that it does, and we go around in circle for a week and a half. It's so much more fun to talk about the conference finals and baseball achievement. It's
yes.
What we'd rather do a million times out of a million. Please and thank you.
Yeah, I like when our teams are playing well in this town.
Wins, please.
We'll be able to spend all day tomorrow talking about Game 7, which is going to be fun. You wanted to get into, on the way out here in the final couple minutes of the show, something really cool, and I think we should do this because, for those of you not familiar, Darius Geis has a background that's pretty fascinating. He comes from a really tough area of Louisiana, grew up with a ton of adversity and turmoil in his family life, and he was maligned around draft time as a bad guy who was taken off draft boards and supposedly got into a shouting match at one point with the GM of the Philadelphia Eagles behind the scenes. And we heard There are these stories that are going to come out about him that haven't come out yet that are the reason why he fell as low as he did in the draft. So if you're going to talk about all that, why don't you talk about when he does something pretty nice and cool, and he did that yesterday.
Yeah, again, there's so much we don't know still, and this is very bizarre. So all we can do at this stage is judge on what we know, and here's what we know. Darius Geis yesterday treated 50 fans to Avengers Infinity War. He paid for their movie tickets, their food, signed autographs, hung out, and took pictures with whoever wanted to take pictures. That's a cool move. Awesome, dude. Pretty much a great way to endear yourself to Washington Redskins fans is basically tweet HTTR a couple different times and then be nice to folks and also be a power running back. People will love you forever. If he's mildly productive as a rookie, he'll be everybody's favorite Redskin in about 15, 20 minutes.
But basically started, he got off the plane yesterday and I guess said he wanted to go see Avengers. Something along those lines, essentially, where he basically said, hey, anybody seen Avengers yet? Anybody going to go see him? Or go see the movie, rather? And everyone said, yeah, I would love to see it.
Yeah, I'll go
yeah,
see it.
I've seen that movie. He goes, I want to see it with some people. They're like, is he inviting me to see Avengers?
Am I?
Next thing you know, he just rented out the entire theater. And he said, I'll buy your drinks and your meals, too. So basically, I think what happened was he probably struck some type of deal with Alamo where you feed and get everyone drinks. And I'll pick up the tab. And 50-some Redskins fans went and took him up on the offer.
Really cool. Really, really cool. I love stuff like that. So far in Washington, D.C., Darius Geis has been nothing but pretty incredible. You think of the rookie minicamp, glowing reviews from there. Good at Citizen. Next thing you know, shows up and treats 50 Redskins fans to a movie. Is it a little thing? Yeah. Is the proof going to be in the pudding of how he acts over weeks and months and years? Absolutely. But again, it's such a bizarre thing that there was this, I don't want to call it character assassination, but there was an attempt to raise questions, and we still don't have any answers about that. Nobody knows what these things that are hanging over his head are, but so far in Washington, has been outstanding.
Yeah.
Way to go, Darius.
Absolutely, and it's one of those stories I think should be told, because if it was something else, I mean, if he got in trouble yesterday or something did come out, I guarantee you it would get all kinds of conversation, not only on this station, but all over the area. So, good for Darius Geis. And you're right. It's not that hard to become a fan favorite very quickly for the Redskins, particularly before you've played a game and done anything wrong as a draft pick. Throw the HTTR hashtag on a couple of tweets. Talk about how much you like Sean Taylor or the Capitals or the Nationals.
Yeah, pretty much.
And people are going to love you.
Pretty good recipe.
It's pretty much all it is.
Yeah.
I wish like players would pay us for advice on, hey, how do I get fans to love me? Here's a list of 10 things. You can put $500 in our debit account at this number whenever you'd like. They would be beloved.
There's my business niche, is that right there. Just that's it. Advising people how to just mention power back, mention John Riggins somehow. You'll be gold.
What do you got on the schedule tonight, Danny?
Pretty casual, I do believe. We'll have some Western Conference finals. They do play again. The basketball will be played, I
Another
do believe.
Game? Are they going to have a close game this time, or are we going to keep playing 15-point games?
Well, it was a 40-point game last evening, so
talking about last night's gem that was only decided by 11.
Oh.
It was a masterpiece.
Well, not a 9-point game, and
Picasso
it was
painting.
Close a couple times, but the Western Conference Finals featured a 41-point blowout, so I'm hoping that doesn't take place
Very
again.
Exciting.
Next episode, of course, of Evil Genius will be in there as well. The show is incredible.
I'm going to watch Western Conference tonight as well. I honestly don't care if it's a 30-point game or a 2-point game. I love watching the Warriors. So
yeah,
if they could win by 50, I'm still going to keep watching it. Of course, the Nats tonight as well. Juan Soto's must-watch every time he's in the batter's box.
There's that too, yeah.
Gio Gonzalez threw the ball really well. Every time, really, through the rotation here recently, they've gotten nothing but good starts. I'm thinking it's Jeremy Hellickson.
It is. It's a Hellickson night. Jeremy Hellickson. He was at the Zims event last week on Thursday. He's one of those guys that on TV, I feel like, looks bigger than he is.
Oh, he's not big
He's
at
not
all.
A big guy. No. But he's got a mound presence because he's pretty tall and upright with his delivery. He's a little bit tall to fall. So he looks like a 6'2", 6'3", kind of guy. He's not. He looks like
probably
just
probably, what, 6 foot?
Yeah, looks like a regular guy. He's my size, but without fat and pudge and grossness.
He's been great, by the way.
Could you have ever asked for anything like that? I mean,
his ERA is in the twos. Gio's ERA is in the twos. Max Scherzer's your leader in the Cy Young race in the National League. Strasburg, honestly, of the starters, has been the most pedestrian, probably, because Roark's been throwing the ball pretty well also.
Yeah, so it's a great competition internally. I hope they continue to push themselves. But you're right. The guy that's, quote-unquote, struggled the most is Steven Strasburg, pitching to the tune of a 3.36.
Speaking
pretty
of the
amazing.
Nats, if you missed Tipton Collins on the show today at 1 o'clock, he was great. Go to thefandc.com. Go to grantanddanny.com/audio to get that interview, or Craig Lachlan or Al Koken, who talked to Capitals with us. They were all very good. Chad Dukes versus the world is next.
I'm excited about this, Grant. Just real quick. Chad has an explanation as to how Juan Soto, in a left-on-left matchup, is able to create backspin on an opposite field home run on a fastball. It's about staying late and maintaining leverage through the hitting zone. Dukes has 2.5 hours on that. That's coming up next. Hold on.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.